Okay, we're going to pick back up over in Galatians. And again, Paul's been greatly concerned with the saints there in the Galatian churches and the false doctrine that was brought in by false teachers and the need of circumcision and following the law and other things that folks were adding to the gospel. And Paul had been there. He had preached to these folks. He had seen them receive the gospel. And so he was greatly concerned about these folks. And it was necessary for him to directly address these things. And he did in a very direct matter. As he spoke again, let them be accursed that would preach another gospel. And he sets forth his own conversion at the hand of God. He sets forth his own calling as an apostle. And to establish some of those things, he reflected on an incident that had happened, you know, back in Antioch when he was there, and these same sort of false teachers had come. And they had consulted. Paul had went to the church in Jerusalem to confront them really about these folks, and they had all agreed on the truth of what the genuine gospel is. And he's presenting these things to these folks, and again to show that Paul had been called of God as the apostle to the Gentiles, and he speaks of his confrontation with Peter, you know, to show that, you know, Paul was equally an apostle with Peter or with any other of them. He had been called of God to this special place, and he spoke of confronting Peter on these matters. Back in verse 11, where he started this section, he said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself." And he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was concerned about what folks would think. And he acted contrary to what he knew to be the truth. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, the son of consolation, you know, Paul's associate and close friend, Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Again, that word speaks of hypocrisy. We act contrary to what we know. That's what hypocrisy is. You act contrary to what you know. You act contrary to what you profess to believe. That's hypocrisy. That's dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. See, that's all that mattered. It didn't matter what Peter thought. It didn't matter, you know, what anyone else had said. The truth of the gospel is what matters. And when he saw that they weren't walking uprightly, they weren't walking straight, they were vacillating between two positions. When I saw they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, without being a Jew, live us after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. That's what Peter had been doing. And yet these folks came, and now Peter separates himself as if to say, you know, the Gentiles need to live like the Jews do. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You know, Peter, you're acting totally inconsistently. You know the old saying, consistency, thou art a jewel. How many of you are 100% consistent in your lives? I wish I could raise my hand, but I can't. But that's what we ought to strive for. You know, it ought to be, you know, what you see is what you get. It ought to be like that saying I have up on my wall there in my study, Esse quam videre, which is the saying of North Carolina, the old North State. To be rather than to seem. Don't seem to be something, be something. And Paul confronts Peter about that because this is a critical matter. And so he addresses Peter before them all. He says, what are you doing, Peter? You know, you go live after the manner of the Gentiles, and then some folks come from Jerusalem, and now you're compelling the Gentiles to live like the Jews do. I mean, what's it going to be, Peter? What are you doing? And they continued the argument in verse 15. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. And now Paul kind of maybe just softened a little bit. He kind of includes himself in it. And you see, before he was pointing his finger right at Peter and says, thou! What? Why do you do that? Thou! Well, just as a side note, you know, folks got all these modern perversions of the scripture. And the King James Bible, you know, correctly translates these things. They say, well, people will understand the ye's and the these and the thou's. Do you understand when you see thou and thee in scripture? That means you're addressing it straight to one person. You know, in the English, we don't have a singular and plural of the second person, right? We just say you. Well, in the South, we say y'all. So we do have it in the South. But we don't have that. But the King James Bible makes that differentiation. That's in the original language as it was spoken. So when he says thou, and I always think about it this way, just something that first came to my mind, probably somebody else told it to me, but thou is like a T, and it's like a crosshair, you know. When you see thee and thou, it's talking right to one person. And then when you see the ye, well, it's kind of like a Y in the road. That's a bunch of people. But Peter, Paul started talking to Peter. He said, thee, thou, thou, why do thou do this? And then he kind of softens it a little bit and kind of includes himself in the hypothetical situation of verse 15 where he says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. You see, that's what the Jews understood, even those who weren't converted. You know, the Jews were a special people and they were in God's economy as a nation. But they're sinners. They're lost sinners. But their idea is, well, you know, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. You know what made a Jew realize he was a sinner? The Holy Spirit. The thing that anybody recognizes they're sinners. But before, you know, if they grew up and if the Lord never regenerated them, they just went through life and I'm a Jew, I'm okay. It's like a lot of people in America think, I'm an American, therefore I'm a Christian, therefore I'm okay. It's not the way it works. See? He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing. And here's after God intervenes, had opened their eyes. God opened Peter's eyes. God opened Paul's eyes. God opens the eyes of every one of his elect. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Well, you know, you grew up in the Jewish economy. You kind of thought, yeah, man, that's how you do get justified by following the law. But when God opens your eyes, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You know, those that were born again of the Spirit of God, they've been brought to embrace the gospel of their salvation. And by the Spirit of God, they knew that there was no salvation in the law. Now, this wasn't just for Peter, and this wasn't just for Paul, but all the Old Testament saints, all those that are truly God's elect are brought to understand that, even though the law was given, and even the ceremonial law, you know, to illustrate things and to picture things. But the lost Jew never saw beyond that picture. He never saw beyond that illustration. He never saw that truth. And Paul's saying to Peter, you know, now that our eyes have been opened, you and I, by the grace of God, to see that justification comes not by the law, why in the world would we want to come back and try to bring the Gentiles under the law? They've never been under that ceremonial law. They'd never been under that Mosaic law. So why in the world would we try to bring them in and act like they have to do that in order, you know, to be justified, when the gods opened our eyes and we realized that justification wasn't found that way? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. What is the faith of Jesus Christ? The faith of Jesus Christ. Christ is the source of saving faith. Christ is the object of saving faith. That faith that we exercise comes from Him. It's the faith of Christ. It's not the faith of the fallen man. You know, the Arminians say, well, man, if you would just repent and believe. You know, even before the Lord opened my eyes and helped me to see the truth of, you know, His sovereign grace, I never could understand that. I mean, how in the world you tell somebody, well, just believe. How does somebody just start believing? You know, well, just believe and everything will be okay. I mean, I never could, how could that happen? Just believe. No, it's a gift of God. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that's given to His elect. Ephesians 2:8, beginning of verse 8, verse is very familiar to us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Brethren, it's all the gift of God, but the faith is the gift of God. Paul specifically mentions faith there in Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, the gift of faith, of regeneration, of unconditional election, well, that doesn't cause licentiousness. That causes one to manifest himself as the workmanship of God, created unto good works. But those are what save. It is by grace alone, through faith. Now, sometimes I'll go back to my whole soteriology thing. But you know, when your salvation began, it began in eternity. You know, and when's it going to culminate? It culminates in our glorification. You know, and folks don't get it. The Arminians don't get it. Most of the religions don't get it. The Romanists don't get it. A lot of the Protestants don't get it. You know, I believe we were justified in eternity past. When God gave a people to His Son, and His Son said, I'll atone for that people, God said, I accept that. We were, Scripture says, accepted in the Beloved. We were accepted in the Beloved before we were. And before God, we were already justified. I know that. Some Sovereign Grace Baptists say that makes me a heretic. But I don't see how else. How can you be in the Beloved and not justified? We were justified before God. By grace are you saved. So we're justified, and then Christ made that atonement in time when He came, and then in time we're quickened by the Spirit. We're given life. We're given repentance and faith. That's our conversion. That's when we embrace the gospel of our salvation. But we've already been. We've already been in Christ. We're already justified. But we embrace the gospel of our salvation with God-given repentance and God-given faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. That God gives to His people. That God gives to His elect. And that's how we're converted. We embrace that gospel. And that's how we come to receive, by that God-given faith, to receive the benefits of that already completed atonement. To receive them in time. Receive them if in the here and now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then you see, it's almost, I would say, well, not literally, but yeah, sometimes pretty literally, you know, Arminian puffs his chest out, you know, I exercised faith, I made a decision, I did. Well, if something was done, you didn't do it. You know, I can't look at your heart, but if something was done, you didn't do it. And it's like these folks that get, they don't believe in eternal security or what. Listen, if something was lost, you never had. So it's just, I like Paul's dealing with this with Peter. He's like saying, Peter, you're just totally inconsistent. It's one or the other. You're dissimulating. No, the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we believe in Christ because we've received faith from Him. Paul goes on here. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. You see, God gives that gift of faith, and then that faith that He gives, we exercise it. We believe in Christ. We believe in Christ because we have the faith of Christ.
That's right.
It's a gift of God. Man is totally inactive in his regeneration. He doesn't have nothing to do with it. But after he's regenerated, he's given the gifts of repentance and faith, and God allows us to exercise those. And that's what's called conversion. You know, it's all going to come to pass. It all works out. God's determined those things. But it all comes apart. And that's what folks say, like, when did you get saved? Well, you know, I got saved in eternity past in that everlasting covenant. You know, now, again, salvation covers all this from election all the way to glorification. Now, folks might say, when did you get converted? Well, that makes a little more sense, you know. I got converted, you know, when the Lord opened my eyes and opened my heart and gave me repentance and faith, and I heard the gospel of my salvation and I embraced it. Now, that's when I got converted. But when did you get saved? Well, that's the whole thing. And then it's not even over yet. Thank God. You know. Now my wife's smiling real big. I didn't know I'd get that big smile, but you know, it's not over yet. I still got a ways to go. But it's going to happen. Because what He starts, He finishes. What He starts, He completes. But thankfully, I ain't what I'm going to be. And so, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Listen, human works cannot avail. That's what Paul's talking to Peter. Peter, how in the world are you going to try to tell these folks they need to get circumcised and obey the law? That don't work. You know that don't work. God's already opened your eyes. You already know that's not true. And beyond that, not only will human works not avail, human faith will not avail. Unless you have the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can get somebody to make a decision. You can use all kind of psychological warfare. Depending on the kind of church you grew up in, you know, the preachers say, everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, and now raise your hand. And then, now those of you that got your raise your hand, look up at me. And now if you're looking up at me, y'all come on down the aisle. I mean, it's psychological warfare. And then you get them to walk the aisle and come up and pray a prayer. You tell them to pray or shake the preacher's hand. You know, do they have the faith of Jesus Christ? I don't, maybe some of them do. I like to think that. I don't know. But psychological warfare isn't what does it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. And one only embraces Christ after God has opened his eyes and given him the faith of Christ. Human works won't do it. Human faith won't do it. Took a little excerpt here from a fellow that's a lot smarter than me, Brother John Gill. And here's what he talked about, kind of what I'm trying to explain. He says, not that faith which Christ as a man had in God, the faith of Christ, who promised him help, succor, and assistance, and for which he as a man trusted in him and exercised upon him. I mean, Christ, that was a faith of Christ, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. But that faith of which he is the object, the author, and finisher. You know, that's the faith that prevails. Christ is the object of it. He's the author of it. And he's the finisher. What he started, he's going to finish. He goes on and says, and not by that as a cause. That faith is not a cause. For faith has no causal influence on the justification of a sinner. Faith doesn't make me justified before God. It is not the efficient cause, for it is God that justifies. Nor the moving cause, for which induces God to justify any. For that is his own free grace and goodwill. Not that faith, as before observed, has any causal influence on justification. The Jews did not believe in Christ in order that their believing, procure their justification before God and acceptance by him, but that they might receive by faith, the blessings from the Lord in their own conscience, and enjoy the comfort of it and all that spiritual peace which results from it. See, that faith allows us to receive the benefits of what's already been done. This blessing from the Lord in their own conscience, and enjoy the comfort of it and all that spiritual peace which results from it, and which they could not find in the works of the law. This faith allows us to embrace the gospel of our salvation and to receive the benefits of it now. Even now, you know, by the peace and comfort. We have peace that passes understanding, that comfort that a Christian has, and no one else knows. That faith that he gave us allows us to embrace that and to receive that. Now, Brother Gill alluded to it again. Our justification before God was in eternity. But you're not justified in your own heart. You're not justified in your own heart until you receive the faith of Christ and embrace the gospel of your salvation. And then his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Then you receive that justification in your own heart. And our justification before men, that's a whole nother thing. You know, that comes by living out those things that he's wrought in us, you know, that folks see in us. So, yes, we're justified in eternity, from eternity before God. But we're justified in our own hearts, you know, at our conversion, when we embrace the gospel of our salvation. When he opens our eyes to see that Christ died for us, and that as he said on the cross, it is finished. How can someone ever be justified in their own heart, even if they think, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. Christ did his part, I got to do my part. Brother, if I had to do my part, I would be lost and undone. I could never be saved. I would be finished. I tell you something else, if I could lose my salvation, I would lose it. I guarantee you. No. But I was accepted in the beloved. And he atoned for me. And so that God-given faith, that faith of Christ, allows us to apprehend, to receive, and to benefit from the atonement of Christ, from that justification that was accepted in eternity, that was actually accomplished in time when Christ came. the Old Testament saints, not every Jew, no. The Old Testament saints, the elect of God in the Old Testament, they didn't knew that as well. Now, they didn't understand all the details of it. They had not witnessed the atonement. Christ had not yet come. And yet they knew that God would provide. Even Abraham, well, with his son in the picture there, you know, that God would provide a lamb. And the Lord talked about that. In John 8, folks didn't like it, but the Lord talked about it. In John 8, and verse 56, the Lord's speaking to his detractors. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
That's right.
Well, that just always gives me goosebumps when I say it. Before Abraham was, I am. I said they didn't like it because the next verse says it here. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. See, Abraham had his eyes opened. He saw the day of Jesus Christ. And every man that's saved receives that faith of Jesus Christ. Moses. And I'll wrap it up here soon. Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 23. Paul writes, I think Paul wrote Moses. You might think something else, that's all right. But, Hebrews, some folks think Barnabas wrote Hebrews. He might, doesn't say specifically, so. Anyway, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. See that faith that Moses' parents had. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. See, Moses' eyes were opened. He had received the faith of Christ. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, listen, as seeing him who is invisible. He received the faith of Christ, and his eyes were opened, and he saw those things. And so, Paul here saying, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You and I, you know, and really all the Old Testament saints, they knew that a man was not justified by the works of the law. And I'll close on that with just one more verse from David, because he specifically addressed this matter in the Psalms. In Psalm 143 in verse 1, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me. And in thy righteousness. And David says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. You know, those folks that say, well, I did the best I could. I lived a good life. You know, I tried to follow the Ten Commandments. I tried to follow the Golden Rule. Well, you see that Trump asked me if he ever repented. No, I don't think I have. I can't think of anything I needed to repent of. Wow, you know, there's somebody that's never had their eyes open. But anyway, I never saw anything I needed to repent of. But David says, enter not into judgment with thy servant. And then David says this in the Psalms. Much what Paul says here in Galatians. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. See, David knew that. He said, God, don't judge me by me. Don't judge me by what I deserve. Don't judge me by my law keeping. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Brother, if you're justified, it's by God. It's by the suretyship of Jesus Christ. It's by his completed and finished atonement. And it is by nothing else. Nothing added to it. These little teachers that come from Jerusalem and say, oh, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. What? Now, the Old Testament saints realized that as well. See? Abraham, Moses, David, all the... Read Job. Wow. You know, he knew his Redeemer lived. And you say, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. I'm thankful to our sovereign God that he has a people and that justification comes by Jesus Christ. Because if it came any other ways, I'd never get it. It's all of grace. It's all of him. And it's all that we receive the benefits in this life by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even that, it's not some decision that you made. It's a decision that he made before the foundation of the world. And we praise his holy name for that. Let's take our hymnals and stand and sing together number 379, Zion's Hill, 379. See, I should have cranked that fan up today. You never know what the temperature is going to be the way it jumps around it. 379, Zion's Hill. Maybe I'm just the only one that's fine.
There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearls swing open wide. And when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's Hill. Someday I'll hear the angels sing beyond the shadows of the tomb. And all the bells of heaven ringing while saints are singing home sweet home. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's Hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all his broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just where, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hills. Someday the dark clouds will be lifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. The day of rest shall dawn at last. Someday the outer reach of mortal ken. Someday God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you've set aside as your own. Lord, as we remember the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he came forth on the first day of the week. And Lord, unlike much of the religious world, we understand that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. That's why we meet. Lord, we thank you for that completed atonement that was accomplished on the behalf of your people, for those who were in the beloved from the foundation of the world. Father, we thank you for that gift of the faith of Christ that allows us then to have faith in him. It allows us to receive the peace and the comfort that comes to your children. Father, we can't comprehend such love. We could never be deserving of it. And Lord, if it was up to us, we could never keep it. We just thank you for your sovereign love, for your sovereign grace. Father, we pray your hand upon those that need healing. Pray, Lord, for Brother Dale, for Heather, as they'll be traveling. Pray, Lord, for your hand upon those that are here with us today. Keep your hand on them. Watch over them as they travel home. Father, we pray that you might work in each of our hearts and lives, mold us into the servants you would have us to be, that you might be glorified. Thank you again for that everlasting love. Thank you for our Savior and his all-sufficient, completed, and atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen.